Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Morena Wairapa, kia ora tātou, and welcome to our weekly program Energise Yourself on Arrow FM 92.7, a New Zealand On Air initiative. The purpose of this program, folks, is just to bring you local people who are involved in sport, recreation, health and well-being and fitness and exercise and everything in and around that, with the purpose to encourage listeners to get active, remembering that everybody can move something and motion changes emotion. Our guest this morning, and we're really, really pleased to have Lawrence Titter with us in the studio for the next half an hour. Lawrence is the driving force behind the Wairapa Boxing Academy, has a great story, and kia ora, Lawrence, welcome to the show.
Good, Alex. How are we? Yeah, oh, great story. Jingles, you're building me up pretty high here.
Yeah, well,
I hope it don't fall too far.
No, you won't, mate. You'll be fine. Just to get us talking. What interested you? What got you started in sort of, I'll call it the healthy lifestyle, or the pugilist lifestyle, or the physical contact lifestyle of your part? Because I understand you're a dad. You've got some little Billy Lids running around there.
Yeah. So, yep. Boxing yep. started for me. I was about 6 years old, actually.
Yes.
Because when I first got involved with boxing, my father was a boxer back in his time.
Yes.
So obviously, naturally, it progressed.
Yep.
He wanted his young fella to take it up. So I started going to a gym when I was about 6 years old.
Yeah.
And then obviously, as a young 6 year old, you're just sort of running around the gym, causing havoc, punching things and things, probably some things and people you shouldn't be. But
yes.
I was about 10 is when I started competing, because you're not allowed to compete until you're 10.
Yeah.
Then I started competing when I was 10 and did reasonably well.
Yeah.
And then that went through till I was about 15, 16. And then as a young fella and a young teenager going through changes.
Yes, all of that stuff.
Sort of fell off the grid a little bit, left actually moved away from Astrum for a few years. Had some tragedies and things happen in life, and then re-engaged back in boxing when I was about 21.
Yeah,
and then it's flowed on from there, and I haven't really stopped. Now that I still think I'm 21, but I'm 38.
Yes. So. Yeah. Well, the body is a very forgiving thing, Lawrence, isn't it?
The mind's forgiving, the body's sort of yelling me a little bit. To pull some rain things in a little bit, but we could still keep trying.
Yeah, cool. So you're running the Wairapa Boxing Academy.
Yes.
Tell us a bit of that, your activities there and how that all unfolds.
So Wairapa Boxing Academy, I started that. Oh, the idea was about 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
And then we started, and we opened the gym, I'm pretty sure it was 2012-ish, maybe a little bit later.
Yes.
Don't quite quote me on the date.
Yeah.
And it was based around engaging youth and mentoring youth and getting youth active and just engaged in some form of sport and building confidence within themselves.
Yeah.
As I mentioned, I got back into boxing at 21. I was going through a pretty rough stage in life. At that time.
Yes.
So I was, because of my previous boxing career.
Yep.
And the levels I sort of got to in that, I was sort of travelling around Wellington region where I was living and just going into gyms and looking for sparring, looking for fights.
Yes.
And everybody's always looking for big guys for sparring partners because it gets a little bit harder the more experience you get, the bigger you get to get quality sparring.
Yep.
So I was just travelling around Wellington walking into gyms and putting my hand up to be, hey.
Yeah, that would have been pretty easy.
Yeah, be the sacrificial lamb. Yep. So And then one day I walked into a gym looking for exactly that, because I heard a certain gym in the Wellington region had a really fairly large heavyweight who was sort of going around bowling people over, and yeah. I thought that was a bit of me.
Yeah.
And what I got walking into that gym was kind of the complete opposite of what I was looking for.
Yeah.
I walked into Nine-O Boxing Academy.
Yes, Billy Graham.
Back yep. in 2008-ish.
Yes.
2007, 2008.
Yeah.
And for exactly that, and I got a handshake.
Yeah.
And I still remember to this day what the first words he spoke to me were, was, "It looks like you've got a fairly large chip on that shoulder of yours. Let's go and have a cup of tea and think about eating it."
Yeah.
So I went in looking for a fight, and come out with many years later with a very good friend, a very good mentor.
Yeah.
And a person who's guided me on this path.
Isn't that fantastic? And was that Billy Graham?
Was Billy Graham.
Yep.
Yep.
Cool. So, good.
So, yeah. And then I remember, we travelled away. We travelled all over the country and the world for 2 or 3 years. He took me to America to train with the American Air Force for a week and a half, 2 weeks, and then by happenstance we went to what's the Muhammad Ali Center, which is a three level building that's all about Muhammad Ali and his life, and Billy Graham being Billy Graham managed to get in the ear of the general manager of this facility and said, "Hey, you don't happen to know when Ali's coming in next?"
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, actually he's out of the town at the moment, but let me give you a call back." And I remember early the next morning we got a phone call. The people we were staying with got a phone call and said, "Muhammad Ali,
he's in town
and he could be swinging past
sometime between
this time and this time." And where we were staying was actually 3 hours away from Louisville, Kentucky.
Let's go.
So we pretty much had plans to be elsewhere.
Yeah. Yep.
But as soon as we were told that, he come in and talked to the three boxers that were over there and pretty much said to us what he's want to do.
Yeah.
And we said, "Let's get in the car. Let's head back to Louisville, Kentucky." And so we got to meet the man himself back in 2010.
What an experience.
Yeah, it was actually. Yeah. So, and then we came home, had that experience, and then later in 2010, I actually moved back to Masterton and sort of stepped away from the Billy Graham and Nine-O Boxing Academy. And then, about 2011, I was like, "Okay, I'm helping with another gym that's here.
Yep.
I want to sort of try and do my own thing."
Yes.
And then Billy came to me and said, "Hey, would you look at opening your own gym over here in the Wadded Upper, and I'm happy to help you." And I think it was 2012, 2013, actually. Yeah. We started to get that ball rolling. We formed a board and a trust, Wadded Upper Youth Charitable Trust. So I first founded that with, who did I found that with? Blimmin. So I still work with him quite a bit.
Yep.
Russell Thompson, MIS, Master Intermediate School.
Yes.
I approached him. And then Anthony Aporo, who was a youth facilitator back in the day and a very good friend, and I knew he had that knowledge around this world a little bit. So he was actually my first board chair.
Yep.
And then Mark Brown, formerly of the Masterton Police, youth aid. So they were actually my first people I approached to figure out, how do I get this going? Because I was like, I don't know how to do this. I'm a boxer.
Yeah.
I don't know this world. Yeah. I'm still relatively new to coaching, which anyone that's coached before, that's a different world, to be flat out honest. I prefer to stay an athlete and a boxer than be a coach, because it's way easier to be an athlete.
Yeah.
And then over the years we've sort of progressed, and it almost fell over, and then Russell actually, he was like, "Right, mate, this is about to fall over. I don't quite know how we're going to fix this."
Yes.
And he actually took me to meet another mentor of mine, who's become a mentor of mine over the last, how long we've been together? six, seven years, I think.
Yeah.
Was Fraser Marmon, who was my former principal at Marston Intermediate School.
Yes.
And I hadn't seen him since I left Marston Intermediate School, and I spent most of my life, my school life in intermediate, in his office.
Yeah, I was just going to say, in the hallway, yeah.
No, no, not the hallway, no, swinging.
In the office.
In the office, sitting next to him, explaining some of my silly behaviour.
Yeah.
So I remember that first knock on the door. I was like, well, whose is this house? Because we went to his house, knocked on the door, and yes, Mr. Mailman answered the door, and it was quite a shock to me.
Yeah.
And I sort of looked at him, I was like, oh, heck, Mr. Mailman. And he's like, Fraser. And I was like, shook his hand, and Russell had already explained to him what I was trying to achieve.
Yep.
And he was quite intrigued, and he said he had come on for 3 months and helped me get to right the ship.
Yes.
We've been 6, 7 years now.
Yeah.
We've sort of walked side by side, and the boxing side of it has been a piece.
Yes.
But we've also morphed into a couple of other things that work around youth and youth development and engaging youth, and not only in boxing but back into education.
Yeah, brilliant. So, the ship's well righted now and steaming ahead. Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, still she's steaming ahead. We rely quite heavily on funding and sponsorship.
Yes. Yep.
And so that's a job in itself, and thankfully I've got an amazing board behind me, my current board and past board, board members, and then I've also got my, I like to call the actual key to the whole operation. I'm just essentially the face and the guy that goes to work and makes it all work, but I'm lucky to have a wife who's fairly supportive, Shannon, so if it wasn't for her making sure that the money was still coming in the door, getting all the grants written, applying for funding, seeking out new sponsorship.
Which is a full-time job. Eh?
Which is a full-time job in itself to keep this beast rolling. I think all up, the trust in the gym, we have 6 staff.
Yeah.
So that's fantastic. No coaches, managers, to attendance staff that work in the attendance side, so it's slowly morphing into different things.
But that's like only in 12 years.
I'd be probably less than that. It's not quite 10 years. I'd say it'd be about 8.
Yep.
I'm no good with dates tonight because I'm one of those people. I don't worry about that stuff. No. I just steamrolling and try and get as much work as done as we can in the small amount of time we've got.
Yeah.
I think it's about 8 years.
Yeah. That's incredible.
From an idea.
Incredible story, Lawrence.
To we're sort of making some grounds in not just boxing, but in youth development and creating opportunities.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, you mentioned off air talking about opportunities, et cetera. So, Let's just take a case study, may or may not exist. You've got like a 14 or 15-year-old or something, and he's been boxing with you for 2 or 3 years, showing a bit of promise. Where could that young man or woman these days, where could they go with your organisation?
Well, if they want to compete as a boxer, because as you well know with your martial arts background, contact sport and for lack of a better word, fight sport isn't for everyone.
Yeah.
But for those who do want to compete, we've got 140 members at the gym.
Yeah.
100 of those, 110 of those are kids under the age of 16.
Yeah.
So we offer programs that are there to encourage and engage, to build confidence, to discipline, respect.
Yes.
The basic values of life.
Yep. Yep.
You know, we the gym's based on 5 R's: respect, responsibility, relationships, role models, and resilience.
Yeah.
So
fantastic.
We try and base it around those 5 R's. But for me, the big piece is discipline, because without discipline, those pieces are pretty hard. If we were to get a boxer come through, out of those 140, I've only got 6 boxers.
Yes.
Only 6 that compete.
You're competitive. That's a good ratio.
For me, that's a good number.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a lot of work when you go away at a tournament and you've got 6 athletes on. You know, we went away to a tournament in Palmerston last weekend.
Yeah.
And there was, the card was, I think it was 13 bouts. I was five of them.
Yeah.
So I took over a third of the card.
Yeah.
So having to be a coach, warm the fighters up.
Yeah.
Get them into the ring, compete, yep. Get out of the ring,
yep.
Get your next boxer dressed, yep. Ready, warmed up, ready to, yep. Go for the next one, so forth and so forth. So, boxers, we compete regionally. Yes. So we travel around small town tournaments and across New Zealand,
yep.
Mainly across the North Island.
Yes.
Then there's two big tournaments a year, Golden Gloves, which is held mid-year, and then Nationals, which is held in end of September, early October.
Yep.
So they try and do the end of term 2 school holidays for I thought I'd turn that off, apologies.
That's all right, mate. No worries.
So they run, Golden Gloves runs, North Island Golden Gloves runs, yeah, the end of the term 2 school holidays, and yes. Nationals and New Zealand Nationals, they run at the term 3, end of, yep. term 3 school holidays. Yeah,
cool.
So those are the two big tournaments, and the Golden Gloves is normally held mid North Island between, yes. Taupo or Tauranga.
Yep.
It's been in Taupo most of my boxing career, but in the last couple of years it's been over in Tauranga.
Yep.
Just financial reasons.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
It's a couple of $1,000 less to run it in Tauranga.
Yep.
To run the event, but the problem for us is, as travelling teams,
it's another hour and a half or
one,
so.
It's another, yeah. hour, yeah. and a half from, yeah. here, but, yeah. Tauranga is a whole lot more expensive to stay in, yeah. than Taupo.
Yeah.
So, but you can understand both sides of the coin.
Yeah.
And then if you start progressing to a level where I think, wow, we could actually go a little bit further, or, yeah. you start making New Zealand development squads.
Yes, brilliant.
Well, I try and start taking kids and seeing opportunities outside of New, yes. Zealand, i.e., yeah. a couple of years ago, we took a couple of boxers over to, yep. Australia to compete at the Australian Golden Gloves. Last year, we were invited over to Fiji for a development camp,
yep.
Which was a cluster of gyms from New Zealand, Australia, and Fiji,
yeah.
Run by a former New Zealand trainer, Cameron Todd, over there.
Yep.
And this year, we actually jump on a plane. I take a team of five boxers over to Fiji this Saturday, actually. So we're going away from the 30th of this month, the, yes. way till the 8th of December. It's a four-day training camp,
yep.
run by Cameron Todd, and I think Jake Rapiro has a hand in it, who's, yes. who runs a gym up in New Plymouth.
Yep.
And four-day training camp, two trainings a day. Oh, you're a very popular man at the moment, aren't
you? You are, mate. Yeah.
So, four-day training camp, two trainings a day with a two-day tournament at the end. So, yep. each boxer that we take over is the goal of getting them two bouts,
yep.
whilst we're away.
Brilliant.
So, yeah. Yep. It's just, for me, it's creating opportunities.
Yep.
For three of these boxers that were taken away this week, it's the first time leaving the country.
Yeah.
With the reason they're getting passports.
Yeah.
One of the boxers is the first time he left the country 2 years ago when we shot over to Australia. He's in the New Zealand development squad. If it wasn't for injury, he potentially, yeah. not potentially, he, yeah. probably would have gone away to the Youth World Games, which was held over in Colorado last month.
Yeah.
But he broke his hand up at Golden Gloves earlier in the year, yeah. had to have surgery, so,
yeah.
he was unavailable to go yeah. there with the New Zealand team.
Yeah.
So, for cool. me, it's just creating opportunities, building, yeah. confidence,
yeah.
and trying to see where they can go with their talents that they have.
Yeah. Fantastic. So that takes care of a small minority of the 100-odd children you've got. What about them and the adults? So what can the adults get out of it if they come along to you? You know.
So a lot of the adults come into us for basic health.
Yes.
They want to get fit.
Yep.
Want to lose a couple of kilos.
Yep.
Want to feel confident, yep. about their ability. Very similar to what we do with the kids.
Yes.
And it's just, once again, it's just engaging them.
Yep.
Getting them off the couch.
Yeah.
Getting them doing something. Training for off-season of rugby. We've got a couple of them. We've got kids, brilliant. That are training.
Yeah.
In our adults class, and well, I like to call it adults and, yep. seniors, because it's from 14 up.
Yes. It's a good age, isn't
it? So it's adults and seniors. Yep. And for me, it's also mixing those late teenagers with the adults. Because we've got a lot of self-employed people in the space. And it's engaging them, giving them adult relationships, having that ability to shake hands and communicate with adults so that when they do leave school, that there's potential opportunities that way as well.
Yes.
So it's just engaging and bringing people together and kids working with adults and adults working with kids and their peer role modelling. But for the adults, it's, we've got some coming in, as I said, preparing for rugby season, for football season.
Yes.
Some have come for softball training, just building fitness around that.
Yep.
So, it's just
cool.
We could be used for a raft of different things.
Yeah.
And so, whatever the individual wants to get out of, we're happy to cater to that.
Yeah, yeah, cool. So do you run beginners, for want of a better way of couching it, beginners classes? So, you know, you've got Trev out there and he's played a bit of rugby and put on a bit of weight over the summer and he's thinking, oh, I better get in shape, and he's 24.
So we run classes. Our classes for our adults and our seniors, they run Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. They start at 6 p.m.
Yes.
I keep them mixed between I've got people that have walked in off the street, have never done an ounce of boxing in their life.
Yes.
Then I've got young fella who's sitting in the New Zealand team.
Yes.
And then I've got everything in between.
Yep.
So I like to keep them mixed. For me, when you've got a room of 20 or 30 people, it's hard trying to coach everyone myself.
Yes.
So then I've got experienced with the least experienced, gelling, moving, and then the more experienced boxers are helping me actually teach the younger ones.
Yeah, brilliant.
And then for our athletes that are competing, we do other trainings on other nights that are very specific.
Yeah.
Or we do an hour-long session, and then I'll do something separate with the other, with the competitive team for the last half hour to an hour.
Yep.
So it depends on what we're doing on the night, do what we're doing, but the ability to have all walks of life in the same room and training together, I think, is quite important.
Yeah.
And I got some up-and-coming kids that wanna be boxers and aspire to get to that level.
Yes.
They get to see those experienced guys training. Yes. They get to see them sparring. And, you know, over the last couple of weeks, because we're getting into this tournament over in Fiji, the sparring's got quite intense.
Yes, I bet.
For these competitive boxers. So all of a sudden, everybody's surrounding the ring at the end of their training, watching these guys go hammer and tong with each other.
Yep.
And because the older one, who's 18 now, I've had him since he was 14.
Yep.
He's a bit of a handful for most, or for pretty much everyone.
Yep.
So silly old coach has to don his gloves
and
jump and be the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I've
crash
taken,
test dummy.
Yeah, pretty much. I've taken more punches as a coach than I ever did as a boxer. And I don't know how that works, but...
absolutely, mate. Absolutely.
So, being a coach, I'm getting hit more than I ever did as a boxer.
So,
then I'm getting to see the experienced guys and the top guys full flight inside the gym.
Yeah, good. Fantastic.
And get that experience in.
Yeah.
And the ones that think, oh, yeah, okay, I really want to give boxing a go, they see that, and then they actually step back and go, actually, maybe it's not for me.
Yeah, maybe I'll just keep doing push-ups and skipping.
That's it.
Which is cool.
100%.
Yeah.
Like, I remember a couple of years ago, because we also run, there's an initiative that get run from Nuku Ora, run it, I think.
Yes.
Don't quote me on that. Sorry if I've got that wrong, Emily.
Yep.
But they run a Give It A Go day across all the schools, where they get a collective of different sports, alternative sports, and they run it down at Trust House Memorial Park.
Yes.
And they do have rugby, cricket, they've got CrossFit was down there this year.
Yep.
Then Kia Orahi, boxing was part of it, and there was a couple of other sports.
Yep.
And it's just all schools from across whatever they want to participate.
Yep.
Go and do like a 20-30 minute tester of each sport, and it's a full-blown day.
Yep.
It's non-stop.
Yep.
And out of that, I remember 2 years ago we had this young lady turn up, and she doesn't like sport. She's a bookworm.
Yep.
Her preferred time is sitting in a quiet space with a book. And she came and gave boxing a go with her school. 2 years later, she had her first boxing competition in Palmerston Law last week. Did phenomenal. Was getting outpointed by a taller, older girl in the first round.
Yep.
She came back, took some small instructions, small little bit of advice, and bite down on your mouth guard, young lady, because this isn't going to be easy.
Yeah.
She went out and took it to this girl for the last two rounds.
Yeah.
And come away with a unanimous points of victory fantastic. Over this young girl.
Yeah.
But this is a girl that doesn't like sport.
Yeah. So, because it morphs quite well into my next question, was around females, ladies. Yep. So what sort of percentage?
The percentage is small.
Yes.
Do I say this out loud on the radio?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. Yeah.
They're actually, in my opinion, they're better at it than us.
Yeah.
They take it on board a whole lot better than we do.
Yeah, yeah.
Boys, testosterone, egos.
Yes.
We're more Hulk smash.
Yes.
We're more listen, take it on board, calculated.
Yeah.
They're a whole lot more disciplined than we are.
Yes.
I don't want to say that too loud, so I have to. No, the look, bosses out the back, hear me whispering that piece, that's why.
Yeah.
But.
No.
The female side of it, I think there's a big there's a big market for it.
Yeah.
It's I love working with the girls.
Yeah.
It's as I said, they just pick it up a whole lot better.
Yeah. So if you're sitting at home there, young women and or old women, anyone, 100%. and you're listening to our program today, and it's a school holidays, etc., and you're wondering what you could do for sport or physical activity in the year ending 24 and going into 25, get in touch with Lawrence at the Wairarapa Boxing Academy, because you've just heard him. Some of his best competitors are females. Let's get you working hard. So we're kind of getting to the end of our half hour. Lawrence, you've done absolutely blinking brilliantly. Yeah, I know. I told you it would go quickly. But that's because you've got a passion and you know, some energy for what you do there. Talking about Lawrence, I always like to ask our guests this, but talking about you, when you look out at your health, because you're in your late 30s, you told me?
Oh, 21.
Yeah, good man.
21.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you look out at the next, so when you look out at the next 5 years, health and wellness and well-being and the rest of it for your life personally, what do you see?
Me?
Hmm.
All I want to be able to do over the next few years is run around with my kids.
Yeah.
For me, that's the important piece. Having that ability to still be able to run around with my kids, play with my kids, run down the beach, have a whole lot of fun, run around on a rugby field.
Yep.
You know, I've got two young boys, 11, 9, and a 5-year-old daughter. They all inherited their father's gene and love sport.
Yes.
Is boxing in their future? That's completely up to them.
Yep.
You know, boxing's my passion.
Yeah.
If they want to follow in Dad's footsteps a little bit and give it a go, it's completely on them.
Yep.
I've got a young man who loves playing rugby and league.
Yeah, cool.
And I've tried to encourage him to get into boxing, but he's told me I want to play rugby and league.
Yeah.
So be it. Let's get you into that. I want to be able to run around a rugby field, help coaches, teams. Yep. My young 9-year-old, I want to help coach their teams.
Yeah, cool.
You know, my 5-year-old daughter, I actually coached her first year of Ripper Rugby this year.
Brilliant.
So, you know, I just want to be able to run around my kids. Yeah. That's my goal, is to keep myself fit and healthy.
Yep.
Is just to be able to run around, have fun with my own family.
Yeah. So, guys, if you're sitting out there and you're around 38 years of age, just listen to Lawrence's story. You know, he's a busy man. He, you know, spends a lot of time and energy at the boxing academy, but also what's really important to him is his family. So just remember, as a reference point, you can go to Arrow FM's website, you can look on programs, and you can look down there, and if you've missed part of today's show, you will find it under Energize Yourself is the name of the program, and you can listen to Lawrence, and there's other neat information there on health and wellness and well-being. So without any more from me, we'll close off the show, and can't thank Lawrence enough, just making a plug again, because he doesn't have to, but the Wairarapa Boxing Academy, well worth poking your nose in around there if you're looking for something that's a little bit different and you want to make a difference. Cheers, thanks for listening.